good morning. It's really a pleasure to be here today. And we all understood this morning and heard about the virtues of hating in Tanakh, right? Not in Tanakh, of hating in general, that there are virtues to the emotion of hate and certain egregious felons and others, right? People who are evil in humanity really deserve our feelings, whether balev or barosh or just balev, of hate and sinah. What I'd like to speak about today is ahava. What is the meaning of love in Tanakh is the title of this session, and really that's what we're going to be dealing with. Our question for today is the idea of ahava, right? We are really going to speak about ahava in Tanakh, and I'd like to address the usage of the word ahava in Tanakh specifically. We also find the words limtzochein, right, to find favor in someone's eyes. But finding favor in someone's eyes, limtzochein, which is used many times in Tanakh, is really not as intense and not as influential, right, and not as extreme an emotion as ahava. And when ahava is used, it really connotes something very specific, more intense emotions. And even though limtzochein is a prelude many times to stronger feelings, ahava is considered the apogee of love, and re'ut, friendship, is really considered the apogee, right, of camaraderie. So we are really going to speak about ahava. So specifically, we're going to try to find where ahava is in Tanakh and what it means. In many places in Tanakh, clearly, when we speak about ahava, the corollary is sin'ah, right? Many times when we have ahava, we have sin'ah, and the question is, how does one either lead to the other, or how do the two balance each other out? Many times we use the word ahava, but we have many homonyms, not only sin'ah, but other words as well, oyen, sorer. And our question is, right, so what are the books of ahava in Tanakh? We're going to look through what are the books of ahava in Tanakh, try to categorize some ideas of ahava in general in the books of Tanakh, and then we are going to really study in Sefer Breshit, right, when ahava is used, what are the views of Rashi, Radak, and Ramban to define ahava, and see where that leads us, right? What does that mean? How does that help us understand the concept of ahava, not only in Tanakh, but also, right, in life in general? So those are the plans, right, for our she'or. So what are the books of ahava in Tanakh, right? I'm taking a page out of the Rambam when he calls Sefer Ahava. So what really are the books of ahava in Tanakh? First of all, philologically, right, the word ahava only appears first in Sefer Breshit, and it is used many times. And ahava in Sefer Breshit is used for interpersonal relationships, right? Relationships of parents loving children and husbands loving their spouses, right? In the Pshuto Shel Mikra itself, there's no transformation of the status of love once it's achieved in Sefer Breshit, which means once you achieve the status, you still love that person, right? We don't have any changes in status. What we find in Sefer Breshit, there are a lot of changes in the consequences of ahava. But once you achieve a certain status, right, then you are still always within that status. For example, Avraham loves Yitzchak. We don't have any change in that status. Yitzchak loves Rivka, right? And Yitzchak loves Esav. Rivka loves Yaakov. Yaakov loves Rachel. Yaakov loves Yosef. And with all the changes in the circumstances, even with the denouement of Berkat Yitzchak to Yaakov and Esav, the psukim never relate a change in Yitzchak's love for Esav. Which means even though in the end, right, Esav does not receive the ultimate bracha that he wants, and Yitzchak gives the bracha to Yaakov, it never tells us that even though originally Yitzchak loved Esav, that at this point now he loves Yaakov. He gives him the bracha. It never says that he changes his attitude towards Esav. So what we see very interestingly in Sefer Breshit is once you achieve a certain status of love, you always remain within that status. However, right, the bestowing of ahava, or the impression that it has been either by prejudice or unjustly employed, has clear impact on all involved, which means even though the ahava itself is either static or intensifies, right, but no one ever loses someone else's love, love has great repercussions in Sefer Bereishit. For example, Esav wants to kill Yaakov when Esav perceives and sees the deception and the irrevocable bracha to Yaakov. And it says, Vayistom Esav et Yaakov. So Esav, right, once he hears what happened and the brachot to Yaakov, that status changes. Leah also feels hated and rejected because of Yaakov's love of Rachel. Shimon and Levi destroy Shechem as the result of Dinah's treatment. It states there, Vayaveh. It says very clearly that Shechem loves Dinah, but Shimon and Levi don't perceive, right, that he really loves her, and he mistreated her, so he has to be punished. But it never says afterwards that the relationship or the attitude, right, of Shechem changes. But clearly, right, what we see from the beginning, that it was not true love. In other Sfarim, for example, in Sefer Shmuel, which we're going to just mention, Rabbi Angel is really discussing it in detail, but what we see in Sefer Shmuel is something a little different. In Sefer Shmuel, love constantly changes. The status of your relationship with someone else is constantly changing, right? And that's why the relationship between Yonatan and David is so unusual, because they are once David and Yonatan really love each other and care about each other, that relationship stays no matter all the vicissitudes that are going on. Whereas all the other relationships, Shaul originally loves David, and then it changes. Michal loves David, and then we see how the relationship transforms. We see Amnon claims that he loves Tamar, right? And once he's with Tamar, right, it then says very clearly that he hated her. So in Sefer Shmuel, we see that relationships are very complicated. There's dual loyalty, there's internecine warfare, and there's so many other ideas, right, that are involved in love. And that's very different than we see in Sefer Bereishit, where once you achieve the status, right, you really stay within that status, even though it causes many different kinds of results. Let's get back to Sefer Bereishit, right? The brothers, right, Achei Yosef, plan to kill Yosef, but end up selling him as a consequence of the love and the treatment that Yosef received from Yaakov. Yaakov loves Yosef, he gives him a ketonet pasim. In Sefer Shmot, which is interesting, we only have two usages of the words ahava. So even though Sefer Bereishit, as we said, using a page from the Rambam, is a Sefer Ahava, is a book that really describes love, you don't have sources for all this. It's an introduction. Once we get into the material, then you'll have all the Mara Makomos, because we didn't want to do 20 pages of Mara Makomos. It would be a little excessive. So in Sefer Shmot, what's interesting, we only have two references to Ahava. And one is that the Eved, right, the Eved Ivri, who wants to be indentured to his owner, says, Ahavti, right? Ahavti et Adoni, I love my master. In Sefer Bereishit, you only love family members, right? It's father to son, right? It's people who you are going to eventually marry. But in Sefer Shmot, we have already a change of concept. The Adon says he loves his master, so we have already a change that an individual can love someone who's not within the family. And the other place we have it is in the Shloshesrei Midot of Hashem, right? That Hashem recompenses those who love him and keep his statutes. La'ohavai u'lishomrei mitzvotai. So in Sefer Shmot, we're already talking about those who love Hashem. And now we can really understand the famous Midrash. Why is the Eved Ivri chastised for wanting to become an indentured servant, ve'avado le'olam? Because here, right, he's only brought into this situation in order to pay back his debt, in order to learn to become independent. But instead, right, he wants to stay with this master, and he loves this master. And the only other place we have the usage of Ahava in Sefer Shmot is about loving God, loving mitzvot Hashem. So we understand the famous Midrash that says, why do we pierce his ear? Because the same ear that heard, right, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, that the only master we have is Hashem, here he's taking a human master, right, to be in control, right, of his life and his whole future until the Yovel. But what's fascinating is that we totally understand that concept. Because what does Ahava mean? It means becoming like family. And what does this slave feel. He was treated so well with this master, and he feels part of his family because that's how the master has to treat the servant, that he wants to join this family. He wants to be part, right, of this relationship with his Adon. So in Sefer Vayikra, again, we're just doing an overview before we get to our details. In Sefer Vayikra, we change gears. We have the same idea, which means it focuses more on society, and you have to love those who are the closest and furthest from you. Ahavat hager, right, we have, and we also have v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, which means how do you include those who are strange to you to really bring them close to be like family. So again, we still have this concept, right, on a society and on a social and on, let's say, a political imperative level. What's interesting, we don't have the word ahava used when we deal with korbanot, right, in Sefer Vayikra, even though we have so many concepts of korbanot. It's about kirva l'Hashem, getting close to Hashem, but really, we save that for Sefer Dvarim. Sefer Dvarim is really another Sefer Ahava, right? The word Ahava is found very often in Sefer Dvarim, and it's constantly describing either Avas Hashem, man's love of God, Avahavta at Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha, right? B'chol nafshecha v'chol modecha, Ahavat Hashem, and on the other hand, how Hashem loves Am Yisrael, how Hashem loves individuals. So we go from Sefer Breshit, which is totally involved in family. We see then Shmot and Vayikra more involved in society. And then once we get to Sefer Dvarim, we have Ahava that's really written over and over again about Ahavat Hashem and Ahavat Hashem to Am Yisrael. And it's interesting, in Sefer Bamidbar, the word Ahava never appears once. We have a lot of Charon Af of Hashem towards Bnei Yisrael, right? We have V'yanusu misanecha mipanecha, that all the enemies of Bnei Yisrael should really be diffused, but we do not have the word Ahava once in Sefer Bamidbar, and really Sefer Bamidbar shows, right, the distance of Bnei Yisrael with Hashem, and slowly but surely we see as they come closer to Eretz Yisrael, Bnot Slovchad are the ones who at least get the language close, right, to at least a closer relationship, even though we don't have the word ahava, but they really bring the conversation back to that. In Sefer Nevi'im, as we already discussed Sefer Shmuel, right, of all the Sefer Nevi'im Rishonim, Sefer Shmuel is another Sefer Ahava, I would say. And Nevi'im Achronim, the use of ahava is really to show either your loyalty, right, or your trust in Hashem, or the lack thereof. So in Nevi'im Achronim, Ahava is used more as a loyalty trust, and like the trust in a marriage. And when that is broken, then your relationship with Hashem is really in disrepair. Tehillim evokes mostly the strong bonds of Ahava between God and man and his teachings. A very intimate portrait of like a father, son, Rebbe, Talmud, someone who's really learning and mentored and has these close feelings and really feels emotionally close to God. And Mishlei and Kohelet focus more on the theosophical and moral ethical elements of Ahava in the interpersonal relations and in running an ethical society. Good and evil, right? What are the actions, what are the qualities of someone who is doing good and evil? And of course, Shir HaShirim, in which we find Ahava used very often, right? And that has been allegorized on many different planes. So these are really the main Sifrei Ahava in Tanakh. This is where we find Ahava. And what we see mostly, Ahava is used in either a family context, right? I-vow relationship with Hashem. Or we see it's also used in the context of morality and ethics. How do you treat your fellow man? So I would like to go, now we're going to look at our sources. I would like to go to Sefer Breshit and see, so where are we introduced to Ahava? What can we learn from the way Ahava is used in Sefer Breshit? What does it really teach us about the values of Ahava that then we see really recorded so many other places in Tanakh? Can we use it as a blueprint? Does it say something to us that really reverberates throughout all the different generations? And what I'd like to do today is to analyze the Pshat and use three famous Parshanim. I want to use, number one, I want to use Rashi. And Rashi is from 1040 to 1150 to 1105, right, from Ashkenaz, from northern France. And he really has a very specific goal of integrating and paralleling Pshat and Drash. And we're going to do Rashi. Second, we're going to do Radak, who is a big precursor to the Ramban, very big debates did Ramban actually read his Perush? Did he just actually study and know his Perushim? But we really see a great affinity of Radak to Ramban. Radak is from 1160 to 1235 in Provence. Right, his father was very involved in grammar and wrote many books on grammar. And he is also very involved in the context and the language. And then we're going to do Ramban. Ramban is 1194 to 1270, starts off in Spain, and then really ends up in Eretz Yisrael. And there, too, we see the integration of Pshat, Remez, Drash, and Sod, but we're going to focus more on his Pshat approach and psychologically, what are some of the insights that we see from Ramban, and can we make any conclusions? So that's what we're going to really attempt to do today. So we're starting with Breshit Kaf Bet, Psukim Aleph and Bet. What's fascinating to us is that the first time we find Ahava in Tanakh, the Shoresh Ahava, it's not with Hashem and Adam saying God loves man. It's not with Abraham loving Sarah, right? They do have a close relationship. We see what respect they have. But the first time we see Ahava, it is used between Avram and Yitzhak, right? When Hashem commands Avraham to do the Akedah. So number one, and a corollary we see a little from what we heard today much earlier, is the idea that in Tanakh, really the ones who drive love are man, is humankind, which means the choices that the humans make, how they elicit love, the choices they make as a result, their free will and their ability to really drive society and to drive relationships, that's really a very important basis for all of Tanakh, for Jewish philosophy, and for the Hashkafot that we really see not only the Pshat really generates, but what we're going to see from the Mefarshim. It's the choices that you make, these emotions, right? And what are these emotions based on, right? Are they based on utilitarian means? Someone's good to you, someone's going to pay you back, that's why you love them? Or can it be that love is an intangible, that you love someone and you act as a result in certain ways, and we can't really explain why you love someone? It's not because they're pretty, it's not because they're tall, it's not because they're good to you, it's not because they're a good moral and ethical person, you just have that feeling towards them. So what we're going to see, and we're going to actually see these parshanim, we're going to come to some conclusions, but a lot we're going to leave as open questions, and see, right, can you really understand love or come to some kind of actually theosophical, philosophical, and psychological blueprint, right, from these discussions that we have about love in Sefer Breshit, and of course, their echoes that they'll have further down in Tanakh. So, Vayihi achar hadvarim ha'ele, v'alokim nisa at Avraham, v'yomer alav Avraham, v'yomer hineni. And what does Hashem ask? Kachnat binchat yechidcha, asher ahavta et Yitzchak, v'lech lecha al eretz ha'moria, v'aleu sham le'ola, alachad ha'arim asher amar elecha. I'm not going to deal so much with the Akedah, because there's another she'or later that deals very intensely with the Akedah. We know the Akedah has been one of the most written about philosophical pieces throughout all of philosophy. And the question is, what does it mean, Asher Ahavta? So we're going to do it according to Rashi, Radak, and Ramban. Et bincha et yechidcha Asher Ahavta, your son, your only son, that you love. And it's the first time we find love. So what kind of love does Avraham have for Yitzchak? So what does Rashi explain? Rashi explains, and he brings in the Midrash. We know very often Rashi brings in the Midrash. Here he's bringing in a Breshit Rabbah. It's Nun Hei Piska Zayin, right? He says, Shnei Banim Yeshli, I have two sons. So he says, Et Yechidecha. Amar lo ze yachid li'imo ve ze yachid li'imo. But this is unique to his mother and that one's unique to his mother. He says, Asher Ahavta. And he says, Amar lo Shnehem Ani Ohev. I love both sons. So then he has to tell him, Et Yitzchak. So why does he tell him to begin with? Because he wants to give him sachar al kol dibor v'dibor. Why is this midrash interesting to us with the Akedah? Because what just happened earlier with Avraham when it comes to Yishmael? When it comes to Yishmael, what does it say? It says that Avraham sends him, right, with just bread and water. And according to Rashi, who brings in the Tanchuma, he says, Shesono al shiatzala tarbut ra'ah. Which means the question there is, why does Avraham send Ishmael just with bread and water? And the answer that Rashi gives is, quoting the Tanchuma, is because he hates him because he really went out to a bad culture, right? He either practiced Avodah Zarah or was influenced by the outside culture, and that's why he only sends him with bread and water. So the question is, how could Rashi now, a few psukim later, say that he loves both his sons when he just earlier said that he hates Ishmael, and that's why he sends him with just bread and water? So how would even Avram think that the Akedah, the son that he loves, is going to be Ishmael? Further on, we have a question. According to Rashi, right, who brings in the Midrashim, who are the Na'arim? Who's one of the Na'arim that goes with Avram to the Akedah? Ishmael. And also we see, according to Rashi, right, why is Ishmael at the funeral for Avram Avinu? Because he did Shuvah. So our question is, right, what's happening from the time Ishmael leaves home to all these discussions where we have with Avram Avinu and the view of Rashi? So one suggestion that I'd like to make is that, and we're going to see further on, is that of course Avraham loves both sons. So what does it mean, shesono al sheyatza la tarbut ra'a? And why does he give him bread and water? So also Mefarshei Rashi and the Re'im explain this as well in a certain direction, that when he gives him bread and water and he sends him away, he hates him at that moment because yatza la tarbut ra'a. But what does he expect once he goes out? That he'll do tshuva, he'll learn better. This is just not the environment for him right now. And eventually, what will happen? Right? He will come back. And we see in the end, right, that he comes back. So what is Rashi saying here? Maybe the love for a son, no matter, even if you chastise them, no matter if at the moment, maybe you hate them because they're not doing the right thing, that still, right, is Rashi saying that the love is always there? Which means when Hashem wants him to do an akedah, an act of sacrificing a son, right, it still could be Yishmael because he loves him so much. It could be because of actions. There's another set of how you feel, but that base of love, right, is always there, no matter what your actions are. And this again, we're going to leave in abeyance to see through all the mefarshim that we're going to do. In Radak, right, what does Radak say? Now Radak says, why do we bring the Ahava first here? Right, and why is Ahavat Avram to Yitzchak the first time we ever mention Ahava in Tanakh? Because this really shows Ahavat Hashem in the greatest way. Because how did Abraham feel towards Yitzchak? And go to line 3. Right, from this we learn vilamdu mimena lavat Hashem bechol levavam ubechol nafsham, which means Radak is saying in Sefer Breishit we learn how to love Hashem, how to fulfill those requirements that we have in Sefer Dvarim, right? Those requirements that we have, Sefer Breishit is really the base. And who really teaches us? We learn first and foremost from Avram. Why? Ki Avram haya ohev et Yitzchak yoter minafsho. He loved Yitzchak more than himself. What is it to love a child? To love a child means to love someone else more than yourself. So the question is, why do you love them? Because they'll be your continuity? Because that means that you will live on in some way through your children? So Radak says no. Ki hu haya zaken. Abraham was already old. And if he dies, he'll die naturally in old age. And he experienced his whole life. But what does a parent always want for a child? To have experiences, to live, to have children on their own. Not because you want to have continuity for yourself, but because you just love that child so much that you want the best for them. Which means love that is not tluya badavar. You just want it for their benefit. V'adayin lo haya lo isha, he didn't have a wife or sons. V'lo nehene min ha'olam, which means what is love? Caring for someone in the way. What is the ultimate love? The way we have to love Hashem. Not because Hashem does things for us, but just because God is God. Hashem is Hashem, and we really should love God in that way and are willing to do so many things because that is the mandate. That is what Ahavat Hashem should be. The Ahava that a father has for a child. And again, because it doesn't say in Tanakh, he loves him because X. It's just bincha yifkitcha asher ahavta. Because you love him. What kind of love is this? Right? Love that really is just caring about the other individual. V'im yamutu yeh hadavar kasheh la'Avraham me'od. V'od sh'haya lo ben zukunim. Abraham waited for this child so long. Finally he has this child and he wants to see him succeed. Or he just wants success. He just wants Yitzchak to be able to live his life. V'yeh hadavar kasheh la'Avraham me'od. To see something happen to Yitzchak is not, oh, I'm losing my future. I'm losing my continuity. It's anything that would happen to Yitzchak would be such a great avelut, such a great difficulty, right, for Avraham, that the fact that he was willing to sacrifice Yitzchak, who he loved more than himself, is the ultimate show of Ahavat Hashem. And that's why we mention Ahava first. The message of Ahava is the real true love of a parent to a child, right? And the idea that this kind of love doesn't expect anything in return. You just want to do it for the sake of the other person. So let's see what Ramban says. What does Ramban say? What did Rashi say? Rashi mentions, what does it mean, yachidcha? Not, it can't be that this is yachid, because I also have another wife, and she has an only child. So it's kachnat binchat yachidcha. Ramban says, he was the child of the gvira, Sarah's son. V'hu levado asher yikare lo zera. Right? And that's why, because what does it say? Early on it says, ki bitzchak yikare lo hazera. Which means, already, before Yitzchak was born, what did Hashem tell Avraham? Ki bitzchak yikare lo hazera. So not like the Midrash that Rashi brought, oh, I have this child, he's my continuity, he's my Zera. No, Ramban says, really, how should Avraham look at Yitzchak? Right, he is the Ben HaGvira. But what does Ramban say? Uba lashon lahagdil ha-mitzvah, amar kachnat bincha ha-yachid ha-ahuv Yitzchak va'aleu ola lefanai. For Ramban, and Ramban says the Akedah was so amazing because it's bringing something from potential to reality. We could all say, oh, we love and I would sacrifice and I would do this. But once you're put on the spot, if you're willing to do it, that shows great emunah. But Ramban just says, et bincha hayachid ahahu, that you love. Which means in all these three perushim, what we see, because the Tanakh does not define the ahava, why Avraham loves Yitzchak, so here too we see that the Mefarshim say, what is love? Because you love him. Which means maybe it's ineffable. You can't really define why. Right? And we also see in Tanakh in general, we don't have reasons, right, why you love Hashem. It keeps on exhorting you to love Hashem. Right? And it keeps on saying in Nevi'im Achronim, Hashem did so many good things for you, you should appreciate it and you shouldn't be kfui tova. But that's not the basis of Ahava. It's this intangible. And our question is, does this intangible really continue throughout, or do we see certain kind of variation as time goes on? But the Ahava of Avram Titzchak is always used as this paradigm of love. So does everyone embrace love in that way, with no strings attached? Do all the Mefarshim really agree on this idea? So now let's go to marriage love. This was parent-child. Now we're going to see marriage. We're in Breshit Kaftalet, Pasuk Samach Zayin. Again, I'm only bringing where Ahava, the language, is really used. And if you look throughout Tanakh, it really makes a difference when you use Ahava to when you use Re'ut, to Limtzochen. It really is very different. So now let's look in Breshit Kaftalet, Samach Zayin. Vayivye Yitzchak Ahohel Asara Imo, Vayikach Et Rivka Vatihi Lo Le'isha, Vayehaveha, Vayinachem Yitzchak Acharei Imo. When, right, Yitzchak brings Rivka into his tent, and she becomes his wife, he loves her, and then he has nechama after the death of his mother. And Rashi explains, right, Ba'isaper ha'eved, what does Rashi say? Gila lo nisim shenasu lo, shekafza lo ha'aretz, v'dizdamna lo Rivka b'tfilato. Before Yitzchak has any feelings or can understand who Rivka is, what does Eliezer do? He says how great she was, all the nisim that happened, right, that the water came up, and I prayed to Hashem, and she came, right, and she is so unusual, and I had kfitzat haderech, which means when it comes to a shidduch maybe, right, what do you need? You need some kind of raw data, right? Why should Yitzchak have any feelings for Rivka? He doesn't know her. He didn't grow up with her. The difference is with Avram and Sarah, they grew up together. He was her uncle. They were in the same proximity, right? They were in the same family tribe. So there we see they had like a brother-sister relationship. But the first time we ever have ahava used between man and wife is between Yitzchak and Rivka. And the question is, so what causes that? What could bring that about? So Rashi says, once he heard all the great nisim and, you know, a really good, I don't want to use a shidduch resume, right? Once he heard all these great words and accolades about Rivka and the way he was able to find her, right, that's impressive. What else does Rashi say? When he brings him into the ohel, again Rashi brings the midrash. And what midrash does he bring? Again, a breshit rabba samach. What does he say? When he brought her into the tent, we all know this midrash, right? What happened? She became like Sarah. And when she became like Sarin, he saw all the nisim, right? That the ner was daluk, right? And there was bracha mitzuya ba'isa, and there was an anan ba'ohel, right? And since Sarah died, all those stopped, and when she came, they returned. So here we see that what is this love based on? It's based on who Rivka was, her personality, all the nisim that happened with Rivka. So here we see that it's really based on certain kind of data, right? Who she was, her personality. It's not this kind of love that a parent has for a child. It's just because of that connection that this is your child, you have all those feelings for them. But how do you generate a relationship between a husband and wife? Do you need some kind of compatibility? Do you need to see some kind of qualities in that person that you would have that kind of connection? The Radak says, Vayeaveh, right? He saw Dvarim Tovim Utsniyut, Kamo Shaya Biimo. Again, what was he looking for? Oh, sorry, I really should finish the Rashi, right? Meaning, this is psychologically, right? I didn't do this Rashi. Acharei Imo, we're still in number 6. Derech Eretz, Kol Zman She'imo Shel Adam Kayemet Karuchu Etzla. Right, what is the closest relationship really a person has in their life? Parent-child relationship. So as long as a person's mother is alive or father is alive, right, who are they closest to? They're closest to the parent, because that is that relationship that from birth, that no matter what, you have that intangible connection. Right, but once a parent's died, only then, umishim meta, humitnachem bi'imo. Who can fill in that void? Someone, according to Rashi, was like his mother, someone who had those kind of midot, and then he was able to make that kind of attachment. In Radak, Vayavea, Shira'a ba'dvarim tovim utzniut kmo shaya bi'imo. Lefichach ahava ma'od. What does Radak say? How, why did he love her? Because he saw she had the same values, she had the same personality as his mother, and that's why he loved her. Because the question Radak asks, why do you have to say that you love your wife? Meaning, usually, what's the assumption? Radak says, ki rov bnei adam ohavim neshotehem. Everyone loves their wife. Which means, what's the point of being married? You love your wife, like Tevye said, right? After 25 years, if this is not love, what is, you know? We eat together, we do this, we raise children. Meaning, so what is it to be a husband and wife? So of course everyone loves their wife, says Radak. So why tell us that he loved her? Obviously to tell us something else. So what did he say? Ki ahava yitera lidvarim tovim shenimtzuba. What makes that relationship go that extra notch? That if you appreciate the personality, who the person is, right, that's why it tells us that Yitzchak loved Rivka. Because of course everyone loves their wives, right? We're not going to write every time people are together, he loved her. You know, that's really superfluous. So what is it, right? It was her good qualities that really made her unusual, right? And that's why he loved her. And he also says, V'zeu she'amar ve'inachem Yitzchak acharei imo. Achrei shaya mitabel al imo, he was really in avelut for his mother. Va'af al pi shaya kvar shalosh shanim, it was 3 years since she died, right? Adayin haya mitabel aleha, he was so close to his mother that even 3 years after she died, he was still thinking about her. And mitnachem berivka shaita tova ki'imo, because she could replace his mother. She was as good as his mother. So it's very interesting that Rashi and Radak have that similar idea. So the question is Ramban going to go in the same route? So let's look at Ramban. We're on the next page. In Ramban, Preshit Kaf Dalet, Vayivieh Yitzchak Ohel Asaraimo, right? V'tama Katuv, Ki Saper Bekavot Shenahag Yitzchak Bimo. Again, what are we going to keep on saying? Look how great Yitzchak felt, how he respected his mother, that all the years that his mother, right, was deceased, Nifteret, he would never pitch her tent. He never pitched her tent, but as kavod for his new wife, what did he do? Hevia el ha'ohel ha'hu, v'lichvoda v'sham lekacha, v'zetam v'yeaveh v'yinachem. Yirmol shaya mitzta'er ma'od alimo, v'rachak mimenu menachem. Nothing could really give him nechama for his mother's death. Ad sheniham bi'ishto be'avato ota. Meaning he was only comforted by his love for Rivka. And what's interesting is that Ramban says, what's the only thing that comforted him? This love, right? Ki matam sheyazkira katuv ahavata ish b'ishto. Later, I didn't print this for you, but later Ramban says, right, Unkulu says, right, because she was like Sarah, the Breshit Rabbah also brings those midrashim. But what Ramban is trying to say here a little differently than the others, and we saw already a little in the Akedah, is that He loved her, and we're going to see later on if this fits in. Shenicham bi'ishto be'avatota. You can't define what this love was, but this feeling that he had with Rivka, this ahava, was a nechama for his relationship with his mother. Which means, can you define love? Was it because she was like Sarah? Was it because she was a good person? Or is there also an intangible when it comes to husband-wife relationships? When it comes to interpersonal relationships, it's not always because they're like you. It's not always because they have good midot. Is there something that really can't be defined that just causes this ahava and you have these feelings and you act as a result? So again, I'd like to go on, right? In Breshit Kafe, we're talking now about Esav and Yaakov. Vaygdelu ha'nearim, vayi Esav ish yodei tzayit ish sadeh, v'yaakov ish tam yoshev ohalim, v'yehav Yitzchak et Esav kitzayit b'fiv, v'rivka ohevet et Yaakov. Now look at the difference. When we had the Akedah, it just says, bincha yichidcha asher ahavta, which means we don't have any reasons why he loved her. Here we have, right, he brings her to the tent, vayikachat Rivka, vatehilo li'isha, vayavea, vayinachem acharei Yitzchak imo. It just says he took her as a wife and he loved her, and he had nechama. But in the pshat, it never tells us that she was like Sarah. Those are the midrashim. It doesn't tell us that all the miracles, right, that happened before, right? He just tells them everything that happened. This is the first time, right, that we have a definition of individuals and we show how different they are, and then we say, Vayehav Yitzchak et Esav ki tzayid b'fiv. This is the first time we have love for a reason that's written in Tanakh. Ki tzayid b'fiv. And this is something that we want to understand. Earlier we said, oh, he also loves Ishmael, but it never says in Tanakh, pshat, that he loves Ishmael, right? It's just the midrashim, oh, I love both my sons. It never says that he hates Ishmael when he sends him out. That's a midrash. But here, for the first time, we have love that's predicated on a reason. And we also are introduced, right, by two different personalities, and each parent loves the other personality. So our question really is, right, what is the corollary here? Or what is the message? So Rashi says something very interesting. Latsudu leramot et aviv b'fiv. Even though a parent loves their child, what does Rashi say? The only way, right, that Yitzchak could choose to love Yaakov, and it doesn't say in the pshat, to choose to love Esav, and it doesn't say in the pshat that he loves Yaakov, kitzayid b'fiv. It has to be that he's cheating him. That he doesn't really know who Yaakov is, because if he knew who Yaakov is, he would love him, because what do we see? Again, shitat Rashi, right? Earlier on, when he heard that Yishmael went l'tarbut ra'ah, what was his reaction? He hated him. So obviously, Yitzchak doesn't really know who Esav is, according to Rashi, right? Radak says, why does it say, vayehav Yitzchak et Esav? Again, meaning Radak wants to say, of course we assume that Yitzchak loved Esav. It can't be that someone like Yitzchak, right, would not love Yaakov, because Yaakov is, you know, so special, so unique, right? Of course he loves him. But it says the chap here is that he even loved Esav. And why does he love Esav? Kit Sayyid Bifiv, which means there was nothing really to love about Esav, but he used to bring food to his father all the time, and that's why, what did Yitzchak always do? He associated Esav with food, and he loved the food that he gave him, and it gave him a certain hana'ah. And this makes sense, because later on, what do we see? The Haveli Matamim Kasher Ahev. We don't have people loving food in Tanakh, practically, and never our heroes, right, are loving food. But what do we see here? Matamim asher ahev. Why does he love the matamim? So Radak is saying, why does he love it? Because what does that represent to Yitzchak? Esav. That is, his love to Esav is predicated on this food, right, that he keeps on bringing to him. And he's older, according to Radak. He's over 70, right? So the fact that he brings him food all the time is really very special, right? So they have that kind of relationship. But what does Radak say about Rivka? Rivka ohevet et Yaakov levado. Right? Look at line number 4. Lefishaya olech b'derech chayim ve'esav b'derech hamavet. All of a sudden here is the first time that we have reasons for love. And Radak says, why does Rivka love Yaakov? Because he's going in the right path. Right? Why does Yitzchak also love, and she doesn't love Esav? So this is very interesting. The Radak says that love, right, of children, right, can be based, right, on activities, on certain actions. Radak wants to start off, though, by saying that, anyway, parents love all their children, right? Just what's the difference, what's special, what's unique about the relationship that it would have to tell us that he loves Esav? But it's very interesting that he says she only loves Yaakov Levado. Lefishaya Olech Bederech Chaim Ve'esav Bederech Hamavet. So again, we see a change. Can you have certain reasons that really cause certain kinds of love, even with children? And Ramban says, why does he love Esav? And again, because you have to go with the text. All of a sudden the text gives a reason. So what does it mean? Ba'avur ki befiv shel Yitzchak tzayid tamid, v'hu mevi lo kasher amar ish yodea tzayid, v'hanachon be'inai, Ramban says, ki Esav tzayid, right, tzayad befi aviv. What does Yitzchak always call Esav? A hunter, right? He always calls Esav a hunter, right? That would mean ki tzayid befiv, which means, how does Yitzchak call Esav all the time? Oh, he's my hunter boy. Right? So again, what is Ramban not doing? He's not saying, right, oh, one loves one more than the other or different than the other, right? Why does he call him a tzayad? Why does he call him a hunter? Because that's how he identifies with him, but it doesn't take away, it doesn't elevate the relationship at all. He loves his son, he just calls him the hunter. He doesn't say, oh, why doesn't he love Yaakov, and this is also a very interesting approach that Ramban takes throughout the whole piece. The only one who brings, and again, this is a parshan much later on, right, is the Kli Yakar, right? The Kli Yakar, he's in Central Europe, but he brings one idea in the end. He's the first one to really develop this idea, right, that Aval, last line of 14, Aval achar shekvar achal mitzedo, batel davar, batel ahava. Right? Aval Rivka ohevet et Yaakov al lo davar va'ava kazo einena betela. He's the first one to really bring the idea that even with Rivka, it just says Rivka ohevet et Yaakov. Radak tried to say she only loves Yaakov, but she doesn't like Esav, right? Because he's smart and he's good. But the Kli Yakar says, what's a good interpretation? What can you also say? It's not his first one, but it's his last idea. That maybe Rivka just loves Yaakov, just a love that's not predicated on anything, which means almost like the love that Avram had for Yitzchak. And again, is this really the message of Ahava? So again, we had parent-child, and again, we're going to relationships of husbands and wife. So it doesn't change. We never have that the language changes, that Yitzchak changes his approach to Esav. We don't have that Rivka ever changes her approach. The language in the Pshat is never, it's always static in this case. So the question is with Breshit Kaptet, when we come to Rachel and Yaakov. When we come to Rachel and Yaakov, right, what does it say very clearly? That Yaakov loves Rachel. He's working the 7 years for Rachel. And what does Leah feel? Leah feels hated, right, because Yaakov loves Rachel, right, in a very obvious way. So again, we don't have a change in status of the individuals ever in Sefer Breshit, but what we do have is results or reactions. So let's see Radak. Is Radak consistent? And we see very interesting. What did Radak say? Right, we're on page 4, right? You can read the psukim, right, to yourself, right? But we're on number 17. When we come to Rachel and Leah, we know it says very clearly that Yaakov loves Rachel and that Leah feels, right, when she names her children, Kisnua Anochi, that's why she names them, because she wants Ataye Vani Ishi. She wants Yaakov to love her, right, which we don't have any changes in the Pshat there as well. So what does Radak say? Why does it tell us that she's Yifat Tor V'Yifat Mared before he marries her? So according to Radak, right, that beauty might play a role, right, in the relationship between husband and wife. And what does Ramban say? So again, Radak is saying there might be some kind of reasons, right, that really lead to love. We see with Ramban that Ramban says, "Hachi achi atava vadatani chinam." We're on number 18. Lo sipera katuv shaya Yaakov oved oto, right? It's all of a sudden saying, are you going to work me for free? And what do we see? It never says that Yaakov was working for Laban. So the question is, how do we find that out? V'itachen ki me'et shamar v'yash et son Laban achi imo, lo yatsa hatzon miyado, ki b'roto et Rachel ki ro'ahi, chamal aleha, he had pity on her, shelo tashuv lir'ot son od, v'haya hu ro'e otan, be'ahavato ota. Every time Ramban uses the word ahava, without any kind of limitations or descriptions, which means, why does Yaakov watch the sheep? Why does he want to marry Rachel? Because he loves her. It doesn't say because she was pretty, even though the Pesukim earlier say Radak says, oh, maybe he loved her. That definitely played a role. And Ramban says, no, he loved her. That's why he wanted to marry her. That's why he watched her sheep, so she should not go out to the well anymore. And Radak explains, right, Vayehav gamet Rachel mileah, lohodia ki gam leah ahev, which means, it says, Vayehav, again, look at the Pesukim, right? Vayavo gam el Rachel, Vayahav gam et Rachel mileah. What is Radak very careful about? Radak wants us to know, right, that from the point of Yaakov and Rachel and Leah, from the point of Yitzchak and Esav and Yaakov, what did he feel? Love for both. But when you have love for both, what is there always? A feeling that one is loved more and the other is loved less. And what does Radak say? Look at the end, Lamed Daled, right? Why does she say for the third child, Leah calls Yilave Ishi Elai, Yen nilve la'ahavati yoter me'avat achoti ki aladiti lo shlosha banim v'kavanat ha'tzadikim le'isha le'banim hi. Why do you get married? Because you want children. Which means Radak is always saying there's a utilitarian aspect. There is a descriptive aspect. Love is not something that is really ineffable and undescribable. For Ramban, he just uses the word ahava, but he doesn't really explain where this ahava comes from. Right? What also, in number 20, Ramban explains, even after, right, Yaakov married Leah and now he's marrying Rachel, even though in this kind of case you would think he would love his first wife, right, because he had this kind of experience with her, Ramban says, ki hateva, naturally you would think, le'ehov yoter ha'isha asher yada adam barishona. But what's the difference, right, that doesn't take place here, which means you can't describe love. Yaakov feels this love for Rachel, and it can't be quantified. So we went from parent-child to marriage, parent-child to marriage. I'm going in the order of the Chumash. So what do we do with Mechirat Yosef? And that's what we're going to finish with right now. Right? Ela toldot Yaakov Yosef ben 17 shana. We're on page number 5. Haya ro'eh techav batzon v'hu na'ar et b'nei bilha v'et b'nei zilpan eshei aviv v'yave Yosef et dibatam ra'ay la vihem v'Yisrael ahav et Yosef mikol banav. Ki ben zikunim hulo. The Torah is telling us. Why does he love him? Ki ben zikunim hulo. So what do you do with that? Why being ben zikunim makes you love someone more than others? What is it about Yosef? So Rashi says, because he was born when he was older, and Unkelos explains, right, that he is smart, right, and everything he learned from Shem Va'ever he gave over to him, and davar acher shaya ziv ikonino, that he looked just like him. So again, what is Rashi saying? Why do you love a child, right? What could contribute to love of a child? They're like you, they're smart, there's something about them, right? Esav was telling him, oh, right, I am giving maaser from salt. When Yishmael was not going baderech, right, then there isn't that kind of a feeling. Loving Rivka, right, is predicated on her maasim. I mean, there have to be reasons. And Radak says as well, Radak says, and here we see again the influence by Radak and Ramban, he says, all the children were practically born in 7 years. So if all the children were practically born in 7 years, right, so everyone was born when he was old. So it's not enough to say ben zikunim, because they were all born in his old age. So what is it? Ki haya motzo chacham b'chol dvarav, right? What's ben zikunim? It's not that he was born in his old age, because many were. He was smart like an old man, right? He's ben zikunim. So again, why does he love Yosef? Because he's smart, right? He has a certain kind of intelligence. And because he loved him more than all of his other sons, he gave him the Ketonet Pasim. Again, love, right, has a certain basis. So Ramban says, again, agreeing, right, with the idea of the Radak, that all of these were born when he was older. So what does Ramban say? We're on number 24. V'hanireh be'enai. Ki minhag hazkenim sheikhu echad mibnehem haktanim liyot imo lishartoh. Right? You always pick someone to be with you all the time and to help you. V'huni shan al yado tamid, lo yipared mimen, he's with him all the time. V'huni kra lo ben zikunav ba'avor shishartol lizikunav. V'hinei lakach Yaakov et Yosef ladavar hazeh v'haya imo tamid. V'al ken lo yelech imatzon birotam b'makom rachok. Which means, what does it mean ben zikunim and why he loves it? Because he's with him all the time. So it doesn't mean because he's smart or he's good, but he's with him all the time. So just being with someone, right, generates this certain kind of love and connection. So again, the Ramban is avoiding saying Ben Zikronim, oh, he was smarter, and that's why, oh, he educated him in the way he saw he's going to be a future for him. But just the fact that he was with him, just the fact that he brought Rivka into the tent, right, generated a certain kind of connection that really had that certain kind of effect. And we see this further on as well, when Yehuda has to approach Yosef and explain to them why it'll be so hard to bring Binyamin, and once they brought Binyamin, they have to bring him back. He can't be put in jail. What does he say? Ki hu levado li imo ve'aviv ahivo. His father loves him. Again, what does it mean that his father loves Binyamin? For Rashi, it means I have him as a fill-in for Yosef, right? I have him as a fill-in for Rachel. If you take him away, then this nechama that I have by Binyamin is going to destroy me, right? Achshav shehu etzli ani mitnachem bo. The same idea of Rivka, because of who she was and what she represented, it was a nechama, right? According to Radak, v'nafsho kshura v'nafsho merov ahava. He loves him so much. V'im lo yashuv anar itanu teitze nafsho v'tiyeh hashva rabba aleinu. Right here, Radak actually says he just loves him so much and doesn't give an explanation, but the Pshat says, because he's the only one who's left. So here with the Ramban, right, the question is, so what is the reason that he loves Binyamin so much? And Ramban explains, because he is the child, right, v'zehatam yaldali ishti, ki lo nolduli me'isha asher hi ishti birtzoni rak shnayim. Meaning the woman that I love, right, produced only two sons for me, Yosef and Binyamin. So why does he love Yosef? Not because he's smarter and he loves Binyamin, not because he's smarter or something, because the woman that he loved, Rachel, is the mother of these two children. And because she is from them, then that love, right, just cannot be expressed, cannot be described, and is something very unique. So what we see here from all the Mefarshim is an interesting approach, which means, what does love mean? Can you use these as a precedent, right, for love in Tanakh in general? In Breishit, right, this love always stays. There are consequences. There's hate as a result. There are politics as a result, but the love is always constant and is always true and really is, in a sense, unchangeable. On the other hand, right, we saw, right, we just mentioned, right, in Sefer Shmuel, love is constantly changing, and there are many changes that happen as a result, and we're actually shocked when a relationship can stay true, right, and unchanging, like with David and Yonatan, despite all of that turmoil. So I just want to end with two, because it's going to be Purim, and just the idea from Megillat Rut. In all the other relationships, right, when there's love and then it turns to hate, it shows that the original relationship was not really ideal. But what we see with Rut in number 33, right, that what is the bracha? Yud Dalet. We're number 33, Pasuk Yud Dalet. In Megillat Rut, again, when we mention the word Ahava, she's always trying to find favor, but this is the only place we have the word Ahava. V'tomar nahanashim el Naomi, Baruch Hashem asher lo hishpit lach goel ayom v'ikareh shmo b'Yisrael. V'haya lach l'meshiv nafesh ulchalkelet seivatech, ki kalatech asher ahevatech yiladatu, asher hi tovalach mishiva banim. Which means, if your daughter-in-law who loves you gave birth to this child, right, then this is even better than seven sons. Even that love of seven sons, right, that care about the parent, right, what's missing always in that element, if you don't have that true love shows that devotion is going to be, right, complete, and devotion is going to be without limits. So the fact that Ruth loves Naomi, even though they're not blood relatives in that sense, but the fact that her daughter-in-law loves her, that kind of love shows that there's going to be this connection that will really never be broken. It's even better than seven sons, and we see throughout Tanakh the importance, right, of the father-son, mother-son, right, relationship. And let's just end with Esther. Vayehav ha-melech et Esther, right? Achashverosh loves Esther mikol hanashim. Batisachen v'chesed lefanav. This is one of the only places where we have ahava and the idea of chesed. That matzachen beinei, right, and to find favor in someone's eyes is still a little different than ahava. He loves her, and he also sees, right, certain qualities, and that's what the Midrash says, shalchut shel chesed matuach aleha, that just affected everywhere and everyone that was affected by her. So what we saw, right, at least as a quick summary, is the different usages of the word, right, in interpersonal. We also saw throughout Tanakh how it's used, but in Sefer Bereshit we really see the basis, the different types of love. Love which is predicated on certain ideas, and then does it develop, or does it really start from this ineffable or this indescribable connection that then has very, very long-standing ramifications. And the message to us is, we see with Shlomo, it says, in the beginning of Shlomo's life, Vayehav et Hashem, he loves Hashem. But by the end, to show Shlomo's downfall, we show Vayehav Nashim Nochriot, which means the way we love, how we love, who we love, really defines who we are. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Professor. Please carefully find your way. There are two actually on top and bottom.
Yeah, they will. But you're right.